I'm Lisanne Flynn. I'm a master healer who works with all earthlings to reunite them within themselves and with each other, regardless of the dimension they're currently in. Meaning, I'm a medium as well as an animal communicator, medical intuitive, and channel for all beings. I use the tools of shamanic journeying and soul retrieval to support animals and humans as they heal from past trauma. I'm certified as a Reiki Master Teacher and as a canine massage therapist. This is the Animal's Eye View podcast. I know that I've spoken often about my two sons, the lights of my life, truly, and shared a few experiences about them and our journeys together in this shared lifetime. My youngest son's path led him into the Navy a few years ago, and at the end of boot camp, there's a graduation of sorts, what's called a pass and review, where family and friends gather together to celebrate the ending of boot camp. It happens near Chicago at the Great Lakes Naval Training Center. And so there my family was, plus a newish girlfriend of his who fortunately transitioned into a newish daughter-in-law just over a year ago when he returned from a 9-month deployment. The pass and review is meant to be filled with all of the pageantry you might expect with the military and their newly minted sailors, or as the saying goes, individuals who have been forged by the sea. And it's held inside a large gymnasium-like structure, complete with a marching band and lots of anxious moms and dads and assorted extended family members. There happened to be a torrential rainstorm that afternoon, and we all got soaking wet walking to a museum on the base to pass a bit more time and chat before my son reported back to his group leader. And definite apologies to the Navy and my son. I still don't have the lingo down yet. And before the long checking out and off-base process for Liberty. And Liberty was granted, if my memory serves, for 48 hours. So it was our plan to stay the weekend and enjoy some of the sights in nearby Chicago, not the least of which was the famous deep dish pizza and the first really good meal my son had had in a long time, at least according to him. The other extended family members that flew to Chicago included several of his elementary school friends, now adults themselves. And as we were all not staying in one place, it actually made it somewhat convenient for my son to spend a bit of time here and then there, and getting to really chat and spend time with a few select number of people, as opposed to a bit of a gaggle of us all at once, especially just coming out of boot camp. On one of the off moments for myself and my older son, we decided to visit Shedd Aquarium, and in hindsight, I should have known better. In full transparency, I did take my sons when they were younger to the Denver Zoo, and I have fond memories of, in particular, mornings at the Denver Zoo. This was a program for young kids where before the zoo officially opened for the day and usually on a weekend, you could pay a bit extra and be able to walk around and chat with the zookeepers as they went about their daily tasks with the animals. As you might imagine, this often involved feeding and bathing and the like, and we all really liked those because A, there weren't a ton of people around, and B, the interaction with the animals just felt different. As I may have mentioned in a previous podcast, the zoo was where my sons also got to see a giraffe being born, complete with the 6-foot drop to the ground below, which I like to think will be a memory that will stay with them for the rest of their lives. And still, after finding the path that I'm on now, I'm much more a fan of preservation of animals versus conservation. The difference, well, yes, is in the spelling. What a surprise. Preservation is being defined as the act or process of keeping something valued alive, intact, or free from damage or decay, and conservation being defined as a careful preservation and protection of something especially, i.e. a planned management of a natural resource to prevent exploitation, destruction, or neglect. And to me, of course, the words that stand out in conservation are planned management to prevent exploitation, destruction, or neglect. And of course, who would be responsible for said exploitation, destruction, or neglect? Yes, that's right. That would be the Queen's we. Preservation, on the other hand, is an activity or process of keeping something free from damage or decay. It feels like preservation is about the honoring of what's in place first and making sure that it stays intact. Conservation feels like it has a decidedly heavier hand because of human error. The one good thing from Shedd Aquarium, I will say, is their gift shop, in which I found this absolutely gorgeous octopus scarf, which of course had special meaning for me at the time, and of course still does. Those who know me well know that I'm a big scarf wearer person. And honestly, while I'd been to the aquarium in downtown Denver for an elementary school outing at some point in time, I think it's likely been more than 20 years since I stepped foot inside a place that's run by humans, with animals who are usually in the wild being kept in captivity in small and unnatural settings. And while knowing that truth is the absolute defense of slander, I can say that what I experienced while at Shedd Aquarium 3 years ago was fairly abysmal as far as the upkeep of enclosures is concerned and the size of the smaller aquariums, no bigger than truly the Mona Lisa at the Louvre in Paris, which, if you've not been clued into the Mona Lisa's true size, I understand that it's a bit underwhelming, having not seen it in person, although my sons have, and in no way detracts from the energy contained within as painted by Da Vinci. And maybe that's the whole point of the painting. It surely cannot be said the same principle exists for the physical environments of animals of the wild in captivity. I've also been to the Wild Animal Sanctuary here in Colorado and several wolf sanctuaries also here in Colorado, and they're all very different in energy and form than a zoo. And I freely admit to feeling some trepidation upon deciding to visit Shedd Aquarium, and I thought to myself, what's the worst that can happen? Famous last words, as we've all found out at one time or another. So it was one thing I discovered for me to interact with the fish, as in Finding Nemo, a clownfish or a triggerfish or a fish like that, and quite another altogether to interact with a beluga whale. My son and I were meandering along, and all of a sudden we rounded a corner into a smallish inside pool with a kind of inner circular moat and some very definite algae-colored water. There was a high plexiglass barrier around the pool and moat, and quite suddenly, a ghostly white creature of considerable size floated by. I knew immediately by the slap of energy that it was a whale of the beluga variety, as they like to identify themselves, and that they were indeed miserable in their fetid water. I honestly could not get out of the area fast enough because I was so overcome by sadness, fear, anxiety, depression, and boredom. Fortunately, my sons know and mostly embrace who I am. And as I made my excuses to my older son, he stayed a bit to spend time with the whale. As I said, it had been a while since I'd been in the presence of such an animal of the wild in captivity, and in my human experience, I was frankly overwhelmed. My son and I reconnected some 20 or so minutes later, and it was a good opportunity for me to sit and rest my legs, which, even at that point, 3 years ago, were already starting to feel the effects of too much walking and the journey of having a body with MS for 25 plus years. We talked a bit about my experience, and while I could offer Reiki at a distance to beluga, I did feel as though I'd let them down, and which most animals, including whales, would respond, oh, pshaw, You came, you saw, we felt your horror, and for just a moment, we knew that you felt as we did and that at least one soul in human experience understood. Which is how I explain to most humans animals' role on this planet. That joining together is so much more to them than any external action or behavior taken on their behalf, because when you speak the language of energy that is so pure and it is of your soul to their soul, it simply transcends any kind of verbal language we perceive they may be too dumb to understand, when it's our species who is illiterate in this master language. I left the aquarium that day a bit shaken and in gratitude, actually, for having that brief encounter with Beluga, knowing that as an ambassador for their species, I can continue to speak their truth for them should that be required. And so it was that a recent incident with Beluga whale came across my radar, and I immediately was receptive to the one word repeated of this particular whale's journey, which was home, home. As I've said before, each species communicates in a different way, and I'm finding that the message from Beluga will be more of a conversation and a listening in, as a good friend might when another good friend is telling a story, and the first friend wants to make sure that the story is told correctly. Because after all, it is the story of Beluga. So my apologies if this feels a bit disjointed. I'll do my best to change voices. Being saltwater-dwelling beings, a whale in freshwater would likely not survive for long, and so it was that a beluga became trapped in a freshwater lock 45 miles northwest of Paris in the River Seine. Although they would say that trapped is a human word for their journey home, and our perception, of course, as well. And I'll put the link for this particular story in the podcast notes. And because this whale was in danger of not surviving, they're breaking in, which was the whole plan, I'm being told. In other words, their journey home being in danger of being misinterpreted by humans as home to the sea versus home home, as in to the stars. And so, humans seeing this and the horrid to us contrast of it all, chose to interrupt their journey home home because, you see, they knew they hadn't eaten for a while, having gotten the message from their body that it was no longer necessary, and yes, they'd lost weight, and gee, who hasn't done that at the end of their planetary experience anyway, and who doesn't know that not eating can be a sign of dis-ease as well as a sign that transition is already well underway? They're pausing for a breath, so let me sneak in here a bit. As humans perceive it, of course, we sprang to the rescue, and we figured that this particular beluga must have gotten lost somehow. They're speaking again. We belong in pods. That's how we live. Wouldn't it naturally tell you something that if I didn't have my pod with me, that something was wrong, and coupled again with the weight loss and not being in the salt water? Well, heck, how many more clues do you need? And so, figuring that they got lost / misplaced, humans all love putting on the mantle of hero, and with animals it's so easy for us to feel magnanimous and extending ourselves to cheer on this one being while the rest of the planet is literally on fire. There was a plan hatched to move the whale, or attempt to, back out to sea. And it was on this transport back out to sea that the whale was perceived to be, again, keyword from the point of Beluga, struggling to breathe, and humans made the decision while it was out of the water to euthanize. To a certain extent, that was the ultimate injury for the beluga from their standpoint. Being out of water while still being facilitated in their journey home home. A mixed bag, so to speak, and here they go again. While all we really wanted was to experience in our last moments the fragility of the human experience so as to enter back into our next lifetime with more information that will help all of us to have a more joyful experience and not nearly be as isolated as your species is from all of the rest of us. I gave it my valiant effort, and while I can understand your need to try and rescue and fix and step in front of your own mortality you see mirrored by saving those members of other species you perceive you can, simply because you can, It's still true that you just don't know enough about any of the rest of us to have any business making any kinds of these decisions for us, and certainly not from a conservation standpoint. And all because you refuse to learn and participate truly in our worlds, and instead try to foist your ego-driven agenda upon us. As our ambassador has spoken on our behalf, we can finally say that this one member of our species is indeed home, and hopes to find the planet a better place the next time they return. At least, that's how Beluga sees it. Thanks for listening today. Leave a review if you're so inspired, and be sure to subscribe to this podcast. I offer all new clients a free 15-minute consultation. Reach out if you think I can be of service, and to schedule online via www.lizanneflynn.com. Come and find me on social media, Facebook, Twitterverse, Instagram, and LinkedIn. I encourage you to sign up for my quarterly newsletter on my website, where I also post notices for upcoming events, the starting date of courses in the Animal's Eye View Academy, and online psychic fairs. Tune in 2 weeks' time, where the topic will be the camouflage of shamanic initiations embedded in the human experience. Whew. We'll have a good time together unpacking that one for sure. This has been the Animal's Eye View Podcast. I'll see you next time. Thank you.